ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final 60 minutes of the show. We'll take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7, all right here on ESPN 97.5. If you're a suspect, you know F is for Fridays. It's an F Yeah Friday, where we have a lot going on, including our Comedian of the Week. Barry has given you a little bit of the backstory there. We've had clips at 1:15 and 2:15, but again, one more coming up from Mark Hurtado at 3:15, so you can look forward to that. News of the day in the sports world, just to get you caught up. The Giants have agreed to trade their linebacker, Olivier Vernon, to the Browns. An interesting one here, defensive end Michael Bennett expects the Eagles to trade him to the Patriots.
Interesting.
Where his brother once played.
Yeah.
And we mentioned LSU and Will Wade, their head coach, has been suspended indefinitely amidst the FBI's probe into recruiting issues. And Coach K said that Zion Williamson had a really good workout, so he'll leave the door open as of now. The big one tomorrow night between Duke and Carolina that I know you both will be glued to the TV screen for. Not.
What?
Exactly.
What?
I've been watching a little bit of college basketball, but not too much.
You're just doing that so you don't suck at the tournament when your bracket comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be completely oblivious.
I'm just going to guess. I'm going to let my cat pick.
No, you don't. You're going to crunch numbers. You're going to take the best of all the people that
spreadsheet.
I probably would.
Yes, you will.
I know. That Olivier Vernon trade is pretty interesting.
Yeah, again,
that's a good get for the Browns.
It's a great get for the Browns, especially since they reshuffled their defense. And
what'd they give up?
I can look it up for you. But what they
not that important. But that's I guess it is. If they gave up, you know, a first or something like that, that'd be interesting to see. But and the Browns are retooling, man.
For the rights to guard Kevin Zeitler.
Okay.
And in exchange to that, the Giants will send a fourth-round pick in the upcoming draft to the Browns for a fifth-round selection in the upcoming draft. That's simply because the Browns are willing to endure his scheduled $15.5 million salary coming up. But when you think about it...
So what is it again? It's Olivier Vernon for the rights to Zeitler and what else?
And they're flip-flopping a fourth and a fifth.
Okay.
So they're giving up a fourth and taking a fifth.
Well, that's interesting.
It was all a cap move. Again, but what are the Giants doing? You make this move and get rid of one of your premier defenders. You already let Landon Collins hit the open market because you didn't want to tag him.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get better. The defense, at least, was your calling card while you found a quarterback, while you got Saquon Barkley acclimated, while you continued to pay OBJ with the new deal. And yet you let your two best defenders arguably walk.
How many picks?
Or be traded.
Browns still have a lot of picks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because Zeitler still had 3 years left on his deal at $10 million a year. Well, $12 million for the last year. But the Browns already had Betonio or however the hell you say it. So they had a really good guard. I mean, both Betonio and Zeitler are pretty decent. But I like it. I mean, they get better defensively, and maybe they go after another guard in the draft, or they shop around. I don't know, but I like some of the moves the Browns are making. It's different to see them making good football decisions.
Well, and
for
that's
a change.
Because of who's running the whole
sure,
show now.
But that's good.
Sure, absolutely. And the fact that when you think about this Olivier Vernon move, the biggest thing here is that, again, John Dorsey, the general manager, is making good football moves, but he inherited Jamie Collins, who the Browns had traded with the Patriots to get, who was their leading tackler, and said, okay, I'm going to get my kind of guy in here. Mm-hmm. And he cut Collins this week, and now it makes sense because he makes this move and solidifies his defense and his linebacking core. So it's a great move for the Browns, who continue to try and tinker with things to try and get better.
I was trying to see the contract for Vernon. 2 years left at 15.2 a year. That's not bad. That's not bad. He's worth it. He's a
and again, because they sucked for so long, they have draft picks, they have cap space, they can do some of these things. And again, you're not paying your quarterback a whole lot.
And yeah, and it's not a long-term deal. And he's got no – they basically could cut Vernon if they wanted to if it doesn't work out this year with no dead money for the next 2 years. So it's $15 million a year. You're in for $30 million for the next 2 years, but you have no dead cap space.
Right.
So that's a good move. Smart moves, man. It's good to see the Browns doing some things intelligently.
You going to make the same bet with P. Randizzle next year?
Oh, I still got to cash in on that. Maybe not.
I think friendly reminder. Cash in now and then run for the hills because they might be good for a while.
I do need me some Cowboys and Indians. I haven't had it in a while.
We all do.
Jerry said, Barry, you don't need to Google images to see what dudes with chick boobs looks like. Just have Nick take his shirt off. That's not nice.
Now, let's think about this for a second, Nicholas. Let's think about this. Jerry tore a knee ligament. Jerry elected to not have surgery. Jerry also said rehab was too expensive. You think Jerry's going up or down in the old weight loss challenge?
Oh, he's definitely gaining at least 20, 30 pounds. For sure.
I would just be careful if I was a dude that waxed my eyebrows about saying someone else had chick boobs.
Yeah,
I would
his eyebrows are pretty perfect.
Very
you know
waxed.
What else he waxes, Nick?
I did not know that. How do you know that, sir?
No, I'm just saying. If it's a dude that waxes your eyebrows, you probably wax other things.
I don't know if that's true.
So you guys are really close friends.
We're not really close friends.
Together, which means you probably shower together.
No, see, stop it. See, I see what you're doing here. You're pulling
that's
the classic Granado. Stir the pot and then get out of the way. That's what you're doing.
Oh, so you're the meat gazer on this program, not Nick. Nick, you've been relieved of your duties.
I stuck up for Nick, and then that's what I get in return. Okay.
What did I do? We have been picking on each other this whole week, and now you're going to get upset.
You too. I'm Switzerland.
No, you don't get to be Switzerland, Joel.
You don't get to pick judge.
You
and
can
jury.
Also get some of this smoke. You're not
immune.
Impervious to these disses? No.
Impervious.
That's not how you like that.
Spell
huh?
that for me.
Impervious. I don't know how to say
There's no way now. I can spell it either. I just put you on the spot like an a-hole.
Yeah, that's okay. But. That's all right. I make you do math. So
before we get off the NFL real quick, though, when Clarence brought up Trey Flowers, there's a reason why they let Trey Flowers hit the free agent market. And you know how the Patriots do it. We love you to play for us at a good price, but when you get overpriced, you go. I don't think Trey Flowers is coming back to the Patriots because of this Michael Bennett move. They give up a fifth. They get a proven defensive lineman in Michael Bennett, and then if Flowers walks, they're okay.
Yeah. Not bad.
They're a smart franchise, those Patriots.
Somebody wants to know, who is our top three worst callers ever? Well, Hunter.
Wow, you guys just one time and you're
killing. Sure, OU Mike.
Yeah. And then when that one intern called, I don't remember who it was.
That was Shane.
Shay. Yeah, that.
I thought you were just going to say, oh, you Mike three times.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if Hunter eats buffalo wings with a fork and a knife. Hunter's the kind of guy that sleeps on his stomach with his boxers on backwards. That's not right. Jeez. That's not right. Hunter keeps his socks on during sex. So they're still going. We're into hour number three, and they're still going. That's interesting. They're also not. They're getting not as funny as they were at the beginning.
Right, but we've had like great participation this week.
Yeah, that wasn't that good.
You guys can probably save your Hunter text. We're done.
He just slightly changed the eating pizza with a fork joke. Yeah. That's all that person. Yeah.
You guys are. You know,
quit while you're ahead because for the week we've had a hell of a good week in terms of audience participation.
Yes.
So let's make sure we notate that. Right. I also want to notate this for you guys. The Canon. A co-working ecosystem for Houston entrepreneurs, small businesses, and freelancers has opened up their brand new location just west of the Galleria at 675 Bering. Offices starting at just $900 a month, and all members of the Canon Post Oak can also work out of our main campus spaces. Visit thecanonhouston.com/postoak for more information and book a tour.
Do it. Hey, let's get Paul's call in since we just talked the Browns trade, and then we can move on because I have questions about LeBron James and the Lakers for you guys. Paul, what's up?
What's going on, my friend?
How's it going, man?
It's going all right. You know what? You know, the Browns started winning a few games. You know, the thing about it, though, is they ain't got no other way direction to go, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, when you're as bad as they've been for a while, You have no other direction to go but up, Paul. Appreciate the insight.
All right, Laminac. Right now, I want to know.
You're off the hook, Hunter.
You go. Yeah, I was gonna say you go and lamb-based Hunter, and Nick and I are coming to his defense. And now this is like the third Paul call where you were just like, "Yeah, that's a good point."
You're off the hook, Hunter. That was Paul letting us know that the Browns suck.
A poop steak after freaking 8 ounces of pee, and you don't say a word, but Hunter says something, and bam!
Paul wasn't the one that called about the poop steak,
yes,
is
he?
Yep, he's also the Cowboys' Zeke Elliott,
exactly
25
right.
reception guy.
The more you know about your callers,
that's Paul.
Mr. Laminac.
Oh, I don't pay attention most of the time.
But Hunter gets a Benny Hill theme music bed.
Yeah.
He gets.
So earlier someone said, what's the three worst calls you've ever had? I'm going to go Paul.
A little late, but you're coming back.
Oh, you Mike and Hunter. There you go. That was awful, too. What is the deal?
Don't call it a comeback. Barry's been here for years.
How do you call in and go, well, you know, the Browns, they've really been bad for a long time. And what else did you want to add to that? No, that's it. They've just been bad. Wow. Thank you. Also, I don't know if you know this, Paul, but the sky has been blue for a really long time. Also, water has been wet.
You're forgetting Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Calls into a talk radio show.
Yes.
And goes,
he's the turd
Cowboys
guy.
Are improving on defense. You guys talk about it.
You guys go.
Go ahead right now.
Oh, you know, nothing drives me crazy more than social media person that goes, who's better, the Browns or the Steelers? Go. I hate the go person. Don't tell me go. I want to delete you.
He's when old Mount Rushmore like of cereals. Go.
Yeah. It's like, you go. Go find a better way to ask a question, idiot.
Paul's old
Not
school.
You, Paul.
He ain't telling you go. He's going to go, you guys talk about it. I'll hang up.
Mull that over. Chew on that, boys. I'll be back next week with some more gems.
Crap sandwich. Good with ketchup or bad? You guys go. All right. We'll be back with more Usual Suspects. ESPN 95.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
The Culture Map Tastemaker Awards event is coming soon, March 27th. Get tickets today for the annual celebration of Houston's restaurant and bar community. Your ticket includes food, drinks, and free valet. Go to houston.culturemaptastemakers.com. That's houston.culturemaptastemakers.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in the final hour of the big show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F. Yeah. Friday. And with that being said, F is for funny.
F is for fail from that last segment.
Funny means that we normally get you the clips. So we're going to do that right now from Mark Hurtado. It's the final of our three clips for the Comedian of the Week.
My favorite holiday is Valentine's Day. I love Valentine's Day. I think most people do Valentine's Day wrong. I think you guys do it wrong. My advice, don't go out on Valentine's Day. Don't go out on Valentine's Day. That's when everyone goes out. But the day before Valentine's, make it a night. You're going to avoid like the crowds. It's like a little bit more original and stuff. You get to have your own thing. And that way, when Valentine's Day comes around, you can spend it with your wife. You're welcome. You're like, she's here. It was like, she thinks it's a joke.
That's good stuff. That's Mark Hurtado at MarkXMind on Twitter if you want to follow him. He's a Houston comic, moved out to L.A. with a couple of dudes, including Chase DeRusso, who now tours with Joe Coy and John Mark Garden. Those guys went out there and did some pretty cool stuff out in L.A. But I saw him the other day on a Wingstop commercial. I thought, oh, hell, well, I'll feature Mark on one of the shows on an FEI Friday. So had to make that happen this time around.
Good stuff there, and I like the fact he's got the local ties, because as we said, even someone texting in saying they went to high school.
Right.
With him,
yeah, so. Somebody had hit me up and was like, hey, Drew Lynch, that should be a feature. Well, Drew Lynch isn't a Houston comic, so although I think Drew Lynch is a good comic, I want you guys to remember that these are supposed to be Houston ties in some way, shape, or form. Now, if Drew Lynch is performing here or when he comes back, maybe that's an opportunity. But most of the time, I want to feature a Houston comic or a guy that came up or got a start here, so. And you don't have to text me names. I pretty much know every Houston comic. Or know of them, at least. So you don't have to send me. Yeah, that's the guy.
There you go.
Yeah. You remember that commercial now?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one that Anthony Anderson voices. So if you haven't seen it.
That is the one. You'll see Mark's beautiful face on all the Wingstop commercials over the next couple of weeks or months. By the way, you guys can stop now with the 100. You've failed miserably. The last batch of Hunter texts have been awful. If I were to make a list of all the awful texters, everyone that sent a Hunter joke between 3 and 3:15 is on that list. It's just awful. Terrible. Stop. Now, you've ruined it. Start on Paul. Paul's the type of dude that closes his car door with his hip. That's pretty good.
When he's not getting his big drink off the roof.
Barry, I enjoy the show. The Warriors, don't you?
I was wondering if you could let that pass on by.
Barry, I enjoyed the show. Just FYI, the Warriors are pretty good at basketball. So now we're getting all the obvious texts.
Barry, I enjoy the show? Where's Nick and Joel in that?
I mean, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Do you want to take Troy's call and maybe he can save all this with a good call of the day?
We love Troy.
Troy, we love you, Troy. Keep that in mind
Troy, I'm going to tell you right now, you know we love you. You're one of our favorite callers, but also don't try too hard because you'll ruin it.
Happy F Friday, guys.
Happy Friday, Troy.
Happy F Friday.
Hey, man. So I got a question, but I'm on my way to pick up a crawfish boiler right now. We're going to boil some crawfish tomorrow. Have a big fest.
Nice.
Somebody's probably going to inject some beer into them crawfish, so it's probably not going to be pretty, but we'll get to it. Anyway, my question is, listen to all the other radio stations, the Red Sox and the Yankees. Is there no love for the Astros? I mean, are they that far behind both them to win, or?
Well, first of all, shame on you for listening to other radio stations, Troy. That's just your first mistake.
Who specifically? Call out numbers. What stations are saying the Red Sox and Yankees are head and shoulders above the Astros in the AL?
You listen to Mike in the morning. Mike and whoever that guy is he talks to.
610?
That's on the,
Is that on 610?
No, it's ESPN early in the morning.
Oh, Wingo and Golic. You're talking about Wingo and Golic.
Yes, sir. Troy, stop listening to the national guys because we even talked about Alex Rodriguez, who works for the Yankees, going out there the day before. And every time he mentioned it was the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox. But every time anybody, including I think it was Mike Greenberg, talking about giving the Astros some love, he just switched gears. We already know what we're up against in this town when you're talking about big name, big market teams like the Red Sox and the Astros and the Dodgers. So you know what? You just have more fodder for when you actually come out on top at the end of the year to go, screw you. This is what you should have seen all along.
And Troy, I'll be honest with you. I think most people think the Astros are going to have the best record in the AL, and it's not because they're head and shoulders better than the Yankees or Red Sox, but mainly because the Yankees and Red Sox are going to beat up on each other, and the Astros play in a really weak division.
And the last thing I'll say, Troy, is check with Las Vegas because Las Vegas doesn't bet with their heart. They bet with their money and their pocketbook. Everybody that's come out with odds for and results for Major League Baseball in Vegas has said Astros will have the most wins in baseball, and that's all you need to know.
There you go, guys.
Appreciate the call, Troy.
Have a good weekend, man.
Have a good weekend, buddy. Enjoy the crawfish. We appreciate that. Somebody wanted to know if I ever featured my own clips on an F Yeah Friday. Yes.
When I was first headlining.
That was like last February, I think we did it. So
happy F Friday, guys.
I loved it.
F Friday.
Yep.
F Friday, guys.
No, yeah. Just F.
The minute he said it, I was like, yeah, who needs yeah? We're just going right to F Friday.
It's just F. It's better than F E F.
Okay.
What?
I'm going back to the living room.
All right.
That's it.
That's an old school reference right there.
Half of
y'all probably have no idea what that even means.
And the other half that does, thank you very much for listening.
Exactly. We appreciate you guys. Okay, I told you earlier that I had a LeBron James question for you because there was a story that came out where they said that the Lakers are going to start reducing his minutes, including not letting him play in back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
Would you shut LeBron down? Would you just be like, you know what, forget it?
I would right now.
You would.
I absolutely
just say,
would.
Done.
You know why? What are you playing for? You're not playing for the consolation trophy. If you don't get in, then what the hell is the purpose? Because then your whole thing is, what are you doing for next year? Well, the more games you lose now, which they've been doing a pretty good job of doing with him.
They're really good at losing.
But without him and the other guys that they're sitting, hey, if you lose the rest of the games of the regular season, who cares? It only helps you get a better pick whether you trade it or keep it.
You got a good chance of being top five in lottery balls.
Absolutely. So then do it.
So they are at 14.5 back. They're like, what, six back of the eight spot right now?
Oh, now it's six back? That's terrible. Yeah, well, they had two losses back-to-back since they've been four back, so that makes sense.
Yeah, they've lost four in a row, 2-8 in their last 10. The Clippers sit at 29 losses. The Lakers are at 35, but games back of first, it's 8 and 14.5. So it's getting worse.
I would if I could. I just don't know if I could. I would shut him down if I could. I don't know if I could.
Here's the thing, though, and I ask that because I'm with you guys. I would shut him down. What's weird is that when the Pelicans tried to do this and not play Anthony Davis, the league stepped in and said, no, that messes with the integrity of the league. How are the Lakers going to get away with that if the Pelicans couldn't get away with it with Anthony Davis?
I was going to say, and here's the other thing, because you know who pays the ultimate price for this decision?
NBA.
The fans.
And the Lakers.
Absolutely.
The fans, because what if I'm a road team? The Lakers were coming late in the season.
You want to see LeBron?
And I brought my kid the great seats to go see LeBron James, and now, he ain't playing.
And now you're not going to play him on back-to-backs, even though he's fully healthy. He's not in a with 150-year-old knees and a bad back or whatever it is. He's LeBron James. He's in his prime, but you're going to shut him down because you suck this year.
Let me give you another thing.
Or you can make an excuse and say, just blame it on the injury.
Well,
like the groin
that's the thing.
Let me be clear, too, when I say the fans, not just the ticket holders. I'm not watching that game without him. I can't wait Saturday night to see LeBron and the Lakers take on the Celtics and Kyrie, see if LeBron goes back at Kyrie and the Celtics and all this stuff.
And then now he's out.
Then let me give me a flex, like in the NFL. Let the network flex the game and say, you know what? I need a better game than this because no one cares.
It's a bad look because this is the NBA probably more than any, but it's a very star-driven league.
Absolutely.
Like, people go to games because they like basketball, but they really go to games to see the megastars.
100%.
That's why when the Lakers come to town, as awful as they are, that place will still sell out. Because there are people that just follow LeBron James. They've got a plethora of jerseys in their closet because everywhere he's gone, they've been a fan of that team because they're a fan of him. So if you start shutting him down and no more back-to-backs and limited minutes, you're cheating the fans, you're cheating the viewers, and you're going to start costing
some. You know what else you're cheating, Barry? You're cheating the system because at the end of the day, too, when we talk about the lottery and everything like that, well, this is another way that you can try and alter the lottery because you're cheating the system.
If I'm the Lakers, I would have never came out and even said that to anyone. I would have one person. I would have the GM. I would have gone to LeBron one-on-one in a bathroom stall where no one would know it and say, man, how's your back feeling? Is it really, really sore where you really can't play that much? Totally get it. We'll shut you down a little bit here.
Will Wade did it. He just did it on the phone.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's not a good look.
I mean, as a basketball fan, like, I'm going to the Rockets game tonight, and I'm bummed that Joel Embiid is not playing. And that's Joel Embiid. Now, obviously, he's a star, but he's no LeBron James in terms of gravitational pull. And at least we get to see, you know, Jimmy Butler. But I mean, I want Joel Embiid on the floor.
And Barry, that conversation happened, and you know it did, but here's the thing. The conversation happened with an inexperienced general manager. Because Rob Pelinka, who used to be a sports agent, being the GM, if you were smart, you'd have said, LeBron was working out at practice today.
Hurt his back.
And tweaked something in his back. It's day-to-day. We don't know how bad it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And now you're off the hook.
Yep.
You don't face any of the scrutiny, and you still get the end result that you wanted.
Well, that's assuming that they're smart. So, but if you're smart, you know what you'll do? You'll download GetUpside. If you're smart, you download GetUpside to your phone. Not only if you're smart, but if you like getting cash back, you download GetUpside to your phone. Check this out. If you're at work, if you're driving, pull over. But if you're at work or you're sitting at home or wherever you're at, pull your phone out, go to the app store on your phone, type in GetUpside, all one word. Download that app to your phone. It's totally free. And then put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Because when you go and get your first fill up through the GetUpside app, you're going to save a ton of money in doing so. GetUpside, what it does is it gives you cash back for the stuff you buy already, like gas and food. So you know you got to have gas. I mean, this is Houston. Everybody drives. Everybody's got to fill up their tank. Why not get cash back when you do it? If someone were to walk up to you and just offer you money while you're pumping gas, would you turn it down? Heck no, you wouldn't. So why are you not downloading GetUpside to your phone and using it every single time you fill up? You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back at over 500 gas stations around the city. You can get up to 35% cash back at Wendy's and Popeyes and over 100 restaurants around town. 25 cents a gallon cash back on gas? That's pretty damn good. You should check it out. Get Upside is the name. Barry is the promo code. Download the app. It's totally free. And remember, these places want your business, but you only get the discounts through the Get Upside app. It's called Get Upside. Promo code Barry. Thank me later. And we'll be back in 60 seconds with more of the usual suspects. Do not go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on an FBI Friday. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel taking you along for the ride till 4 o'clock. Blitz will take you from there till 7 o'clock with Aaron, Fred, and AJ. Having a good time on a great week to be a suspect as we are just rolling along, having fun.
Happy Friday, guys.
There you go. We got Troy, Hunter. We've had so much good participation this week and bad participation, which has led to good participation.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
That has been, yeah, it's been a fun week. This is my favorite time of year, like I said.
So. Yeah, no doubt about that. I mentioned this to you guys the other day, and okay. I said, we know that baseball's around the corner, and you and I are obviously very excited about that. Nick's excited for his fantasy baseball draft. And in the process of getting all that stuff together, ESPN did this whole day in the life of the Red Sox thing behind the scenes where they put Jess Mendoza in the bullpen during the game.
Right.
They mic'd up Alex Cora at batting practice before the game. And then one of the things that they did, much like they did at the All-Star game, is they put a mic on Mookie Betts during the game and were literally having full-on conversation with him. And it was great.
Yeah, somebody tagged me on the golf one and was like, this is so funny, and I just didn't think that. I didn't think it was that entertaining.
No, the one that I found, which is really funny, is in the offseason, Mookie and his wife had their first child, the little girl.
Uh-huh.
And they decided to ask him about changing diapers, and I thought it was classic.
Mookie, how's that diaper changing going for you?
Man... she's nasty. Like, nobody ever explained it. Everybody says, you know, yeah, you change diapers, this, that, and the other, but you don't really know about the diaper, like what goes into these diapers.
Literally.
So public service announcement, brace yourself. It is not fun.
Parenting 101 from Mookie.
I mean, think about it. You went from world champion to be named MVP to professional diaper changer.
I mean, it was like you're riding on highs, and then you get to changing diapers, and it's like bottom of the barrel.
That's too funny.
It was great. Now, that was the good stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff you don't get in a press conference in the locker room after a game.
Yeah, sometimes we get tagged on stuff, and people think it's funny, and I'm like, eh. So that's why I was hoping that this one was going to be better, because the golf one was kind of just like, he was just talking about playing golf. And then,
she's nasty.
Like, that's so funny.
The good news is you would never tell these people about.
Oh no, I would
if
never.
They were a bad caller. Or
I would never do that.
Providing information.
I would never,
need.
Ever, never do that. Why would you think that?
Because then the hunter becomes the hunted.
Somebody said, "Is it Podcast Arena where I can hear yesterday's show?" That is correct. Podcastarena.com. You can also download the ESPN 97.5 app, and you can get the podcast through the app itself. So, yeah, either one of those.
Here to help where we can.
Correct. Any plans? I know you've got the ESPN Plus, Nicholas. You're going to watch the Derrick Lewis fight?
I will. You know why? Because I'm subscribed. Are you subscribed?
I am not.
That's why I get to watch all the fights.
Okay.
And it's the fourth fight that they've had or going to have.
Yeah, I saw, like, somebody said it was like fight night 146, but then if you look at it on ESPN, they don't use that. They say it's ESPN plus four.
Right.
This is their fourth time.
Yeah. I'm not going to look. Let's just. Okay.
Because a lot of the fight nights were on the competing box.
They don't want to count those. Now we start over at four.
It's a bitter relationship between the two. Because I remember when Fox initially beat out ESPN for the contract with the UFC, they literally canceled their interview with Dana White right after.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Derek Lewis got his new contract. He was on his last fight of his contract when he fought Daniel Cormier. So he's on a new contract. He's loving the new contract. He's going to make a killing. But he was interviewed about the fight coming up with Junior Dos Santos. And I guess somebody asked him, how do you see the fight going? And, of course, in typical Derek Lewis fashion, he's got to make it hysterical when he talks about the fight.
I'm keep seeing, like, that he's going to be kicking my ass the whole fight. You know, and I'm picturing the number keep popping in my head. In the fifth round, 4 minutes and 57 seconds left in the fight. And I just starch his ass. He just twitching on the ground. That's what I see, man.
So you got to survive.
And I get up like I just been beating his ass the whole fight. And I'd be like, yeah, it was easy.
Who sees a knockout with 3 seconds left in the final round? That's typical Derek Lewis. Yeah. You know, he wasn't going to come in like, well, I think I can finish him late in the fifth. No, he's got a specific number. 3 seconds left in the fight is when he's predicting the KO. I've never when did I start covering MMA? 2010? 9 years of covering and watching. I've never heard anyone predict a knockout with 3 seconds left in the fight. It's always first round. I'm going to knock him out first round.
It's a testament to how smart he is, actually, because what he's doing is...
he's letting you know that this could be a tough one.
Right.
That's what he did more than anything.
Not only that, it's answering that redundant question. So how do you see this fight ending? Which round are you? Pick a round and tell us when you know what I mean? So he just...
Wouldn't it be great if Derek went off the rails and they were like, how do you see this fight ending? I'll probably hit him with an omoplata in the third round. What? You don't know any of that. How are you going to do that? Yeah, that would be great.
And the funny thing is, and he's a friend of the show, and he's been great. But when you talk about it, too, I just love how real he is at all times. Good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, and again, it could be self-deprecating or otherwise. He just comes right out and lets it fly.
Yeah.
And that's why people love him so much, because not only does he get it done, and he's a beast, but he's also fun.
Yeah, he's a character, man. He's a funny dude. He's real with his interviews, and he's just a funny dude.
Free food too.
He is. Is he?
You got to believe with all Popeyes? The munchings and love that he gave Popeyes and
that's
over
true.
By where
I think
I'm
he
sure
did
he's
get,
still eating.
I think
good.
He did get free Popeyes.
Yeah.
Who you got winning, Nick?
We were talking about it before the show. I'm going to give our man some love. I picked against him last time.
Did you?
But I still think that Derek Lewis can finish this fight. Junior Dos Santos has that punching power that can absolutely knock you out. We were kind of going through Derek Lewis's record and how many times, because obviously that doesn't happen often. Derek Lewis doesn't normally get knocked out. He might get submitted. He might get finished.
Mark Hunt, the one guy that you would definitely think could knock anyone in the world.
And right when I saw Mark Hunt's name, I was like, okay, well.
And you almost can't not count that one. Mark Hunt's probably... the one guy that you would go.
I mean, he could wink at you and you'd get knocked out.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm going to officially pick Derek Lewis, and I think it will not go to decision. It might, but I think he will finish him at some point in the second round.
So I'm with you. I think that I think Derek wins the fight, but I'm not – I mean, I probably wouldn't bet on it. He's the underdog going in, so I think I would take the bet in that regard as far as him being an underdog. But what scares me is he just got submitted by Daniel Cormier in his previous fight. Junior Dos Santos is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and that's the one weakness that Derek really has in his game is his ground game. He's strong, and his strength overcomes a lot of deficiencies technically that he suffers from in jiu-jitsu and in wrestling. But when you're with a legit black belt that might be as strong as he is, that becomes an issue. And we saw that with Cormier. Cormier was so technical that Derek's strength couldn't save him. And I'm not suggesting that Junior Dos Santos is the best, you know, heavyweight black belt in the division or ever, but he's legit. And he's a guy you have to worry about. And I could see him. I mean, he's a knockout artist. Junior Dos Santos is. But if you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu and you're fighting a guy that doesn't have a ground game, what are you going to do?
Right.
So I would worry about that, but I'm still, if I were betting, I think I would take Derek because he's the underdog, and I want to pick him to win, but it's a scary fight. I mean, Junior Dos Santos is legit. His last two fights haven't been against, you know, upper-class opponents.
Right.
But
you're the one showing me clips back in the day when you were covering him at the regional level and how his raw strength was able to just literally get himself back up off the ground. Did you see the most recent one that UFC posted on their Instagram? And he literally had his back, like, full back mount.
Uh-huh.
And he literally just got up, like, using his hands and knees.
You're not supposed to be able to do that.
No.
You're not supposed to be able to
I don't know if he'll be
able,
like you said, I don't know if he'll be able to do that against JDS, against Junior Dos Santos, but... Yeah.
And again, I mean, Dos Santos is known for his hands, but he is a legit black belt in jiu-jitsu, and that's the angle that I would take in this fight. I don't know that I would want to slug it out with Derek Lewis if I'm Junior Dos Santos. I would be like, you know what? Let's get on the ground. Let's see what you got. Let's see if you can get up when I'm on your back or if I've got mount on you. So, and truth be told, he's strong enough that it won't surprise me if he does. But again, if I'm betting, I'm going to take Derek Lewis because he's the underdog. I'm picking him because it's hard to pick against Derek for one reason, because he does have that knockout power. And at any moment, he could finish the fight. And I like the role he's on. He's the number three heavyweight, or number four, I guess, number three ranked contender. I'll take him in the fight.
Look out for the clinch. I can see him catching JDS with a punch in the clinch.
Okay.
I really believe that.
I like it.
There you have it. All right. We're going to step away for a quick second. Then we're going to come back and wrap things up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz on an FAF Friday. It is the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show before we turn over to the Blitz. It is Nick, Barry, and Joel, the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FAF Friday. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. Some breaking news out of the NFL. Eric Weddle is a free agent no more after the Ravens elected to set him free. He is signing with the Rams. Therefore, it looks like the Rams will have
good get
a new safety, and that man can play some football. So there is that. When we talk about football.
Yeah. Did they say what it was? Because it looks like I'm on Spot Track seeing if they had already posted the details of the contract. But all they have right now is just a 2-year deal.
I saw it. I will try and find
2 years, $10.5 million with the Los Angeles Rams, including $5.25 million guaranteed. Okay.
So what they basically said is that LaMarcus Joyner, their previous safety, is who's hitting the free agent market. They expect to probably fetch a higher price tag. And so that's a pretty good replacement right there. And Eric Weddle, a man who knows he knows defense. He loves Wade Phillips. I mean, look, there's a little long
in the tooth, but he's still a player. Yeah. And you get him at a bit of a discount from his last contract with the Ravens, where his final year he made $6.5 million.
Tough as nails, too.
Yeah.
He's going to play for it.
Yeah.
And then this, Martin Maldonado of the Astros last season, still on the free agent market. There were rumors at one point he was going to sign with the Mariners. That hasn't happened. He's now going to move on from his agent, and that has prompted Ken Rosenthal and Buster Olney to say the Astros had offered him a 2-year, $12 million deal that he turned down.
Stupid.
What does that say to you, Mr. Laminack?
It tells me he got bad advice from an agent who now has two former Astros that gave bad advice to, because the other guy is Dallas Keuchel. Scott Boras is the agent of Martin Maldonado. I should say was. He's been let go. And then he's also Dallas Keuchel's agent. And doesn't sound like he's giving great advice to his guys, or he overestimated the market. And he thinks, well, I'm Scott Boras. I can get anything for anyone. And the market is saying, sorry, Scott, but you can't.
That's exactly right. That's what I was going to go to. This isn't the Scott Boras of the past, and he had the corner on the market.
That's right.
If you were a client of his, you were going to get paid top dollar. This is the new world of baseball and sports in general, but it's a business.
How much are they offering, you said?
2 and 12. So 6 a year.
Oh, he's dumb.
Should have snatched that up as soon as he could get it.
That's
and
stupid.
Be on a winning team with a chance to win it all, as opposed to a Mariners team trying to rebuild and diming.
As bad as he looked defensively, and we know, I mean, he's got one of the best arms at the position in baseball, but he was a sieve. He was a sieve. I mean, he just passed ball after pass ball in the playoffs, and it really hurt his confidence, I think. And to come back and get offered $6 million a year?
And you know he can't hit.
He should have taken it. No, he can't
hit. Should have brought his stock down even more for a team to have enough confidence to say, no, you'll bounce back. We'll give you $6 million a year for 2 years. How's that?
Yeah, that was dumb.
I completely agree.
Let's see. The most he's ever made in a season was $2.5 million.
Oh, come on, man. You don't take $6 million a year. Did you think really because you played on a winning team, you were going to get more?
Oh, my bad. That was combined. That was the Angels, 1-3 with the Astros. But still, the most he's ever made is 3-8.
Yeah, come on.
And you're going to pass up six?
You almost doubled your salary for a raise, and you're going to say no?
Yeah, you got bad advice. Good job on firing Scott Boras. That was bad advice. And Dallas Keuchel might want to do the same.
Because we mentioned
he's getting some bad advice.
The rumor out there yesterday was the Stros offered Keuchel a 1- and 2-year deal, and they were interested in talking to him.
Yeah.
And basically, he said, that's not in the ballpark of the money that I'm talking about, and I'm looking long-term. I'll pass. If that is indeed the case, and it is against Scott Boras, and he's getting advice from that guy, he might want to follow Martin Maldonado in saying, maybe it's time for me to find another agent. Because that is this late in the game?
Not I'm smart. Not good. Man,
I'd be on the phone right now with Jeff Luhnow if I'm Scott Boras going, hey, can you get that 2-12
Sorry
thing back?
About that.
Can I resurrect that? Can you do me a solid here? Because I'm going to start losing guys.
Somebody texted the show and said, Barry seems like the type of person to try and order. See what you did?
I didn't do that.
You just turned it up. It was mine and
I'm always turned up, Barry.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you drip so hard.
No doubt.
Barry seems like the type of person to order a cheese pizza without cheese.
Yeah, they're getting pretty lame.
I was going to say, where is
Thank
that?
You. Thank you. That was awful. Whoever texted that, you tried way too hard with no results.
But isn't that normally
Try
the case?
Better next time. No. For
the,
a while,
the listen, 5% of the...
From
of the,
1 to 259, the text line was on fire. They were all doing great. And then I don't know what happened at 3 o'clock, but it crapped the bed.
Because all the good ones
awful.
Were taken. All the best one-liners were taken,
yeah,
but they
true.
Still wanted to keep it going.
Or all the good texters stopped listening and had to go back to work. And all the bad ones got in their car and sent us bad texts.
You take it, we get it up right to the line, and then you just smash right through it.
I love our listeners. I would never talk to them like that.
Hunter on line one.
Bitch, please. You love our listeners?
I would never talk to them like that.
Okay. You hate them.
Hunter, line one, no.
No, God, no. Please don't do that again.
10 seconds in, Barry be throwing daggers at him.
I thought you were serious.
No. We have a rule. One call a day.
That is it. Hey, this is a... you know, it's the time of year when it's slow because every single website has a top five list going on.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore's top five.
Yeah, everybody's like, top five places that Eric Weddle will land. Top five places Le'Veon Bell should go. Top five, top five, top five. Well, let's do something a little bit different. Easy for me to say. James Bond actors ranked. The James Bond characters, or the James Bond characters had several different people play the role. Are you a James Bond fan?
No.
You don't watch the series?
I don't.
Really?
No.
None?
Not to the point where I can rank them.
I really don't. I mean, I know that Sean Connery was the best James Bond of all time. I don't go back to the Roger Moore era. And then since then, the new guys...
Sean
just
Connery's
not
even top two.
Well, then look, there you go. So that shows you I'm not an aficionado.
Sean Connery was third. So six is Pierce Brosnan.
He sucks.
Five was George Lazenby. I don't even know who the hell that is.
You don't like Pierce?
I like Pierce. He was all right. He wasn't the best.
Joel thinks he
I think
sucks.
He fits it better than the other, the most recent guy, but other than that.
Four was Timothy Dalton. Can't say I remember that. Three was Sean Connery. Two was Daniel Craig, and one is Roger Moore. I think Roger Moore was the best Bond.
Roger Moore was the original.
Yeah, and I think he was the best. But and I would probably go Sean Connery second.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Daniel Craig third. You never watched
over Pierce?
I think Pierce Brosnan fits the mold
four.
And the role better
he would
than
be four, not six, but four.
Because he looks the part with Roger Moore and Sean Connery. They all look
true
the same.
More than Daniel Craig.
Yeah,
yeah. Daniel Craig looked like he ate paste as a kid or something.
Yeah.
But Nick, you're not a big fan of the series?
No, not to that point. The three biggest names that I would recognize would be Pierce Brosnan, Sean Connery, and then Daniel Craig.
Okay.
No, I mean Roger Moore, I would.
Roger Moore was legit, though. He played it so well.
He did.
But you're right. Sean Connery's did, too. His character. I had this debate with a friend of mine. His name's Kazim. And I have to preface this by saying he's black. So did you understand where I'm coming from? Because some people might get upset about this. But we were debating over the fact that why hasn't there been a black James Bond?
You brought that up here.
Yeah. And it was like, well, because he's always like the character. Once you establish a character, I don't feel like you can change that. It'd be like making James Bond a chick now. You can't do that. Once you establish the character, that's what the character is. Even though he's played by different actors.
Right.
And he was like, well, that's stupid. Like, because the character no one saw when you read the book. So, but they put it in a movie. So I'm asking you guys, do you think that you can change the character's race or gender halfway through?
I'm okay
you
with
can't
it.
Make
but...
C-3PO silver. I can't do it. I can't do it. Once it's been established on video, you can't change.
I hate you so much.
I would be okay with it. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either. I just don't think. But it's like, I mean, I don't know. It's like if you remade Benson and then he's going to be white. You can't do that. Benson is black. That's it. Period.
Mr. Belvedere.
Don't change it.
Can't make him black.
Huh?
Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah. Webster. You're going to go out and find you're going to get Vern Troyer to play Webster?
He's dead.
I know, but I'm just saying, you can't do that.
I get your point. I'm just telling you he's dead.
It's not so, but I got in this big argument with him, and it was like, no, that would be like, what, are you going to change the Black Panther? Let a white guy play that? No, it's not going to happen. You can't do that. Once you establish the character's
race. I'm completely
race,
in agreement with you on
or,
that.
Now, if you want to get a blonde or something like that, that's different. But once you establish race or gender, that's what the character is, right? Or am I being too narrow-minded?
I think you made this point before, and I kind of agree with you. But
okay.
Like I said, it wouldn't bother me if they did change the race.
It wouldn't bother me. I just don't think it's right.
Right.
No, I'm not Michael Connor and Jong and all those people that get into the Comic-Con and all that. But can I ask the question? Because I found that, and I was taken aback by it because I didn't know. But so the new Marvel movie that's out, they made Captain Marvel a female? Was she always a female?
I don't catch me lying. I have no idea. I watch them all, but I don't keep up with it. So I
don't either. But
no
I always
idea.
Thought that if there was going to be the superheroes, like maybe I'm thinking Captain America, but I just didn't. I didn't know that Captain Marvel was a female.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Do we want to take Austin before we close the show?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Better not suck though, Austin. What's up?
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
So, two things. One, about Captain Marvel, she's always been a girl. That's okay. Just how they wrote the character.
Thank you.
And it kind of goes into my second opinion about James Bond. I think James Bond, like, I don't, you know, either way, I'm going to watch James Bond movies however it comes out. But, you know, if James Bond is, you know, he's just James Bond, that's how they kind of wrote the character so far. There's no problem with a somewhat similar character in the same universe. And gave him his own spotlight, his own twist. Like, so that, in my opinion, I think that would be just as fine. So if you put, say, for instance, Iris Elbella, or if you put, say, insert female actor here as a female James Bond, you know, like character, but give her own, you know, her own style, her own twist, just like they do with Captain Marvel, you know, it's the same thing, essentially, to me. I feel like it's, you know, that's a good way to, you know, introduce a character with still, like, keeping... I guess everyone's still happy in a way. I mean, like I would say, for instance, what if you had put Black Panther, you made him white or you made him black, you made, or not black, but you made him Asian or something like that, right? Like, that's just not how the character was wrote.
Well, and that's my point. Appreciate the call,
yeah, thanks, Austin.
Austin.
We're up against it.
Yeah, and I think the point you're making is valid because they did that in the Bourne Identity where they got another guy. He does the Bourne series, but he's not Jason Bourne. But again, that's not changing who James Bond is. You're saying you change the arc of the story, but the character remains the same. But you're not. But you, if you interview a chick,
exactly.
Like if she's Janet Bond, that's still not James Bond. It might be his sister Janet or something, but it's still not the
brother
same.
Brother Bale.
Oh my God! That's how you're going to end this week. Holy! That's how you're going to end the week on a Bale Bond joke.
Yep.
You've ruined the whole week.
Thank you very much.
It was such a fun week until
not
that.
Not as bad as the NyQuil comment yesterday.
That was so fun until you did
Bail Bond. I will not be
Bail
at the
Bond.
Joke Joint with two shows nightly, but please Bail remember Bond? To tip your bartenders and waitstaff. Thank you very much. I write my own jokes. If you ever want to use that, by the way, I'll throw it out there.
No,
it's available
thank you. I'm
you.
Okay. I'll be just fine.
Well, y'all have a great weekend, and while you're heading around with the rest of your day, before you call it, the Blitz is coming up next. They're going to entertain you all the way till 7 o'clock. You don't have to do a thing. They'll be right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.